No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Si conoce a alguien que vive de forma ilegal en Estados Unidos, pronto lo volverá a ver, porque volverá a casa. Me llamo Kristi Noem, soy la Secretaria de Seguridad Nacional de Estados Unidos. Puede evitar problemas descargándose la app CBP Home y deportándose de forma segura. Recibirá ayuda económica, un vuelo gratis y la posibilidad de volver de forma legal. Si no lo hace, lo encontraremos, multaremos y echaremos a la fuerza. Bajo el fuerte liderazgo del presidente Trump, nuestras leyes se cumplen y nuestra frontera es segura.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back. Hour three of the show here, Old School, brought to you by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Don't forget, Thursdays and Fridays, you get fired up at the Mercado at the 85th and Old Cheney location on Thursdays, 30th and 84th and Havelock location, rather, on Fridays from 11 a.m. till they're sold out. They have lunches for you into their Fired Up series. First come, first serve. It'll run you less than $20 for an incredible meal, brought to you, of course, by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. They feature one of their every types of meats and every types of cut every week. Make sure you get yourself down there. They make it easy for you to partake. 402-464-5685 if you want to be a part of the conversation. That's our starter Heyman Jewelers text line. Or you can also leave a comment on any of our streams brought to you by those same fine people. Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Comments up and open for you. DP saw this as I was scrolling through social media. The most recent now inductee into the Pro Football Hall of Fame to have played at Memorial Stadium, Sterling Sharp, was here when South Carolina visited town in 1987. The most recent before him all went in 2023. Zach Thomas played at Memorial Stadium for the Texas Tech Red Raiders. DeMarcus Ware for Troy in 2003. And then Darrell Revis and the Pitt Panthers came here in 2005. Do we still have the Salt Ducks tickets to give away?
We do.
Okay. Text line, here's the question. First person in, who was the first Pro Football Hall of Famer to play in Memorial Stadium? The first inductee into the Pro Football Hall of Fame who played in Memorial Stadium. It is a name you know. It's not off the wall.
Is it non-Husker?
It is non-Husker.
Okay.
Correct. Non-Husker division. So that is the trivia question that is out there for you to win Salt Ducks. Take you said the Milwaukee Milkmen are in town, DP. Is that correct?
That is, in fact, correct.
There we go. Love some good old American Association nicknames. Saw this too, DP, reading through some stuff from our friends Tom Chattel and Sam McEwen at the Omaha World Herald on the topic of Nebraska volleyball, right? Just how big a season it is for them. Terry Pettit, former coach, was interviewing Danny Busboom-Kelly, having a conversation with her. And, of course, brought up, Louisville being on the opposite side of the bracket, seeing Nebraska be so close to playing for that national championship and then being Louisville's opponent, come to find out that wouldn't be the case. Penn State would make the furious comeback to beat the Huskers and advance to win the national title. Terry Pettit asked Danny Busboom-Kelly what's going through her mind as she's watching that. What does she think led to the errors, right, that led to Penn State getting back in that game and Nebraska ultimately falling in the Final Four. And Danny Busboom-Kelly points to, in the fifth set, a serve that went to Harper Murray. She says it was slightly mishandled, but not that bad. She said that the pass still went high enough. It left the TV screen and landed inside the lines on Nebraska's side of the court. And here is Danny Busboom-Kelly's answer to that. Nobody even went for it. Yes, it was a bad pass, and fans might think, oh, that's a great serve. But the fact that ball dropped, to me, fear was coming in. A lack of leadership really came out in those big moments. When I got to Nebraska this spring, it felt like that was not that big of a deal. And it became a big deal in our gym in Louisville. If a ball's inside the lines, it should never, ever hit the ground. To me, that's a communication thing and a trust thing. It's not about effort and skill. Really interesting comments from Danny Buss from Kelly being on the outside looking in at that play that seemed pretty innocuous maybe to Husker fans, but that was maybe indicative of what a leader on the outside saw looking in for Nebraska volleyball at least last year.
Well, new eyes. Mm-hmm. New eyes that the standard, what you believe your standard is or what it appears to others. Self-scouting is important. Self-scouting for every coaching staff across the country and then at the higher levels and then the greater coaching staffs. Self-scout better than their opponents. That's part of the gig, is to go, well, no, that's a thing, that's a blind spot. Because you get so used to looking for what you look for mm-hmm. that you miss a detail. You miss data. Mm-hmm. Or you're devaluing the data, right? Which is also a thing that happens. You go, man, you know, we don't really spend time on special teams. But you do. Mm-hmm. The great ones do. It just looks like they don't. Like it does. Like you go, wait a minute. So again, check another box for not accepting things as they are and aspiring to getting things right. But let's fix some things. We're talking about if we can figure out a way to add 4 points to any set that existed, any match that existed, Nebraska's winning 2 out of the last 4 national titles. Mm-hmm. Like that, it's just a matter of 4 points in critical moments in matches. And it's not even always the toughest match. They lost an early season match last year where there were critical points, 2 critical points in set number 3 that if you handle that, the whole season is different. And it worked at a pretty high apex. But you could have gotten there earlier, stayed there, and then worked on some other things. So I like the fact that, yes, self-scouting is important, being able to break it down and being honest about it and say, listen, here's what I saw. She has the eyes for it. Certainly, I accept it. Thank you. Tell me more.
And that's just so interesting coming to from the outside, because what did we hear all year, right, from Nebraska? I mean, really the last 2 years, where it's pretty much the same team 2 seasons ago as it was last season. Now there's some turnover heading into this season. It was the great leadership. The team was so tight, right? It's a bunch of young freshmen who get along with everyone. The senior leadership has been great. And I don't think that by these comments, Danny Busboom Kelly was knocking any players, any of the senior leaders, right? I don't think that this was her, you know, going, you know, behind the back of Merritt Beeson or Lex Rodriguez, for example. Oh, you weren't good enough leaders. That's why this broke down and this failed. But what I think it was Danny Busboom Kelly saying is, hey, as tight as you guys are, as much as you communicate, clearly there's another level we can reach, which is really hard for a team that, like you said, was 4 points away from 2 natties in the last couple of years. If there's another level for this team to reach, I mean, dang.
Well, nobody in college volleyball is as close to winning a national title as Nebraska. Penn State's there, mm-hmm. standing there. Is that gettable? Closest proximity, Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And having players that do not have Penn State fear, they do not have Final Four fear, they need to figure out how to win 4 critical points in the Final Four and the Big Ten season. Mm-hmm. Those 4 points that can stop a run, can change momentum, or then that co-signs a run. 4 points. Fix things, small things. Big things happen when you fix small things. So if you tell me that, listen, our mission is that we need to get better at identifying what's in and what's out, that's a specialty that's going to add points to your season. Bravo.
When you think about Danny Busboom Kelly coming back in from the outside, let's just take her perspective as an outsider. When and where are some other moments where that new perspective you think could help this Nebraska team?
Film study. Film study is intelligence. It is shared IQ. Your ability to not assume, to assume that everybody sees the same thing. Also, different voice. Sometimes Old coach and new coach could say the same thing. A new voice cleans the room. And it's necessary. There are times when, again, as a coach, I know that I can say the same thing that the parents have said. The new voice gives me power and authority that the parents may not have. Mm-hmm. That's what happened. There's a new standard in the room for all things, And what you hope is that the returning star players don't lower any standard, mm-hmm. that you're simply adding to, that Danny Busman Kelly will come in and add to and get them to look, all the things that you do well, keep doing. We will keep focusing on those. We'll prioritize them. But there are things that we can improve on that will make this championship run better. Sometimes it's in determining that championship is all that we're doing. Like, we're going to play championship volleyball. Wow. Like, that changes the room, especially coming from somebody walking in and going, you know what? Everybody in this room, we can win a national title. We should win a national title. That'll change that whole room just because it's a different voice. A respected voice. So, and then it's...
And a hungry voice, yeah, who also has not won a natty yet.
Right, to know that and go, you know what, you're as good... this is the most talented team in the NCAA. They'd believe her. Mm-hmm. They'd believe her. You're better than Penn State. I thought you were better than Penn State last year. They're going to believe it. So, the game changes for the better. New coaches, when done right, add two. Think Devaney, and then here comes Tom Osborne. You're familiar, and he has credential. But his ability to communicate differently and to clean up, guarantee you he had some things to clean up even though he was a part of the staff, mm-hmm. right? Because there were things that just weren't important to Coach Devaney that would ultimately be different. And then the ability to adjust. Schemes, player development, player talent identification, all those are things to play. I think those are things that Danny Busman-Kelly will all do well. Then it's just, can you get the players to believe it and buy in?
Flip side then, where and when will Danny Busman-Kelly's status as an insider come into play and be to her benefit?
Player, coach, different scouting reports. Remember, last year's staff had the same scouting reports that they've had by the same people. There's a new eye in the sky. There's a new perspective. She's been in these battles with them in those gyms, and will think, you know what, maybe consider this. Being able to have the conversation with a player who's struggling. Well, I can speak to when I was struggling at this level, at this thing. Mm-hmm. It is important.
At this place, even.
Well, at this place. And then the difference in having a woman coach. We haven't talked about it, but if we don't understand that maybe the difference between winning a national title and not would be having a woman have some of these discussions. It's just different. I've been around too many programs where the woman's coach had an advantage that the men simply could not have. You can have women on staff, but being led by a woman in a woman's sport, listen, there's certain things that conversations that can be had, different emotions that are involved, different understanding. I think it shows up that way.
Well, that's what Tara Vanderveer and Pat Summitt versus Gina Auriemma and John Cook.
All
successful.
Right? Not a slight. Mm-hmm. Just different. Just different. And often better. Sometimes, and we, I think we all working from the belief that she's the right one. Right? I'm not saying that all women coaches have an advantage in this, because that's just not true. Some of them are flawed in the same way. I just think from what we've seen and what we know, she's going to provide a figure, a family figure, a family feeling, family vibe, but also being able to speak to women in a woman's voice and in, with women's verbiage. Listen, we all have moms. If she laced you up, it was different than when dad did, and sometimes it cut deeper. So, yeah, I think in those spaces, there'll be an opportunity for her to gain advantage. And I think it would be done because it's the right thing, not because it gains advantage. Mm-hmm.
That's certainly what it seems like from the outside looking in. And then to that point as well, you look at a coach like Rhonda Ravel, right? Like Heather Brink, and then those same spaces. Nebraska's got some good ones in that role, DP.
I think
Amy Williams, throw her in the mix, obviously.
Yeah, I think that Nebraska has done a really good job of identifying what the leadership should be, right? and the value of that leadership in those spaces. I would say that this program is so highlighted and so amplified that nobody's walking into this unaware of what the responsibilities and standards are. Mm-hmm. You're walking in. You're not trying to scrape it and destroy it and demolition it and build it back up. Nope. This is a house on a hill that's a mansion with a pool, tennis courts, and the like. Great staff that's there. It's just not the best house in the neighborhood yet. Small changes, small fixes. You're not that far. You're one renovation away from being the best program in the neighborhood. That's mm-hmm. the whole mission is, can you get over the hump? Get from where you are. Don't take it down the hill. You don't have to, again, you don't have to knock walls down. But simply add to. I think it's the right thing, because hearing Rebecca Alec and Harper talk, knowing that they have four additional players who speak the same verbiage, same language, same fire, same passion, same boundary back in the locker room, gives me hope that they're going to hold each other accountable on and off the floor. And I think the off the floor aspect matters. It does. Mm-hmm. It does.
Well, Rebecca said as much. I mean, with all the stuff that she's involved in off the court, I mean, they've said that is a core tenet of who they are as a program, right? Not just an individual doing her own thing apart from the team. But it's, hey, I'm going to set an example for the team that's in the culture of Nebraska volleyball.
I think that if the more we hear championship talk, the more championship work will be done. Don't shy away from saying it. We're about that championship. Mm-hmm. And every drill, every repetition, everything on the floor and off is about representing championship behavior. And you get to say that now. Like you've been in the Final Four. That's not it. Mm-hmm. They also know the sting of not doing a small thing well enough to win a national title. That's what moves the needle in these off seasons and training camps. You get to say to yourself, maybe if I'd done this drill better, maybe if I'd worked harder on my service return, maybe if I was a better server, I could steal an ace, maybe not fatiguing as much in set number three, any of those things. If you can have that conversation honestly and have people that hold you accountable to it, because I can say, hey, Austin, don't let me just get by. Push me. Like, mm-hmm. demand that I give you what you're giving to me. And then holding each other accountable, it just, all of it fits. It feels connected in the right kind of way. It's not the false hype. This is, we're working. Mm-hmm. Like, we're working. We understand we're playing the game, but this is work. We're trying to win a national title.
It's going to be really interesting to see just how the vibe around North Stadium changes as well with a new head coach in there and Danny Bus from Kelly as well, because DP, we know how much oxygen Nebraska football takes up out of the conversation, you know, deservedly so in a lot of ways. But also I feel like volleyball for the last, 10, 15 years, maybe even longer, has done a good job of setting the tone for fall sports. This is our standard. This is our expectation. This is what we're going to do. It's time for football to catch up to that, in terms of, living up to that standard. Wins and losses will come, right? You do little things well, like you just said. It just feels like, again, we think about like the Director's Cup and how good the winter programs, have gotten in a lot of ways. And then spring programs take another step forward this year. It feels like you want to bash the fall programs. Well, why are you guys holding back the Director's Cup? They're really not. It's just football takes up so much oxygen. We forget how fall sports really have been the tip of the spear for Nebraska.
Well, I think you could even highlight it more and say that women's sports was really pushing the needle. When it came to that. I mean, listen, the women's sports I can think of gymnastics, bowling, volleyball, softball, track, gymnastics, even including Emma Spence, that where you have world-class talent and one of the three best athletes in that sport in the country here at Nebraska. Football's not that.
Nope.
You and I
not quite there.
You are not in that space. It would be fantastic to have any player at any position be in the top three in the country here at Nebraska. And that's the thing. But then also to have the result, right? Thank goodness wrestling shows up and changes the conversation. Two national champions, not just the first national championship since 2011, the first two. And you took on the big dog and stared him in the face, and you were actually leading on the final day against Penn State, a team that hasn't lost in a decade. Okay, Wolf, what are we talking about? Mm-hmm. Right? You're good enough to win baseball's Big Ten championship. But can that become the standard and the expectation, the minimum acceptance? Getting to the tournament 2 years ago is not the same as winning in the tournament for basketball. It has to be said, and you have to hold people to it. That's when the standard changes. The oxygen in a room, I'm a member of the club that says, I'm not giving good oxygen to bad work. If we see the work amounts to us giving more oxygen to it, Nebraska fans don't have any problem feeding good Nebraska football. Mm-hmm. What the frustration comes is when you are just fanning the flames and getting no fire. That has been football far too long. You get a win, you are the reigning defending Pinstripe Bowl champions.
Hey, we saw that trophy in Vegas, by the way.
Well, that's I made a point to say that I'm going to address this football program as the reigning defending Pinstripe Bowl champions. They're a bowl championship team until they play themselves out of it. So don't play yourself out of it. But I will fan the flames of being a bowl champion. I just want to fan the flames of being a bigger bowl champion, a better bowl champion.
At least an Alamo Bowl champion.
Right, like, you know, well, I mean, being a Pinstripe Bowl champion is honorable because the other side of it is not good.
No.
But we want to celebrate winning and success and such. Well, let's win and have success. We will fan all the flame. We'll give you all the fire for winning, you know, 8, 9, 10 games. That's a different conversation for different fire.
And that is going to be a conversation that we have with Lincoln Act in some sort of way outside this window this fall. Imagine they get there, GP. Imagine the scenes outside this very window.
Yeah, we would.
Right there. What we've seen with six wins.
Yeah, win streak cam would be a different beast. But it starts early. It starts early. Look, I said that I see no reason why this team isn't 3-0 when Michigan shows up. And I also don't see any reason why I can't start to fathom and dream of downtown Lincoln when they go 4-0 after beating a moreless Michigan team in Lincoln, Nebraska at Memorial Stadium. And then we can really start to dream, because we'll do it week by week and go, okay, we beat Michigan now, and let's not fumble the football.
Against Michigan State.
Right, let's not do what we've done.
Don't just beat Big Brother. Bring Little Brother too.
Right, let's own Michigan. All right, so we're going to own Ohio. We're going to own Michigan. We're going to go through. That's the standard for volleyball. That's the standard for bowling. Like, oh no, they're going to be in the Big Four. Like we expect that. We expect now. Hopefully, we can expect that Big Ten tournament. We can pack the car and go to the tournament.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
And expect Nebraska to win it.
Make it worth our while.
We've seen it. We've seen it 2 years in a row. No excuse now. We've seen softball. We know how good Jordy Ball and this group is. We want to see how good they can be, and we'll fan the flames. That's all anybody's asking, is that football carry its fire.
Yeah. Be worth the coal. Be worth the oxygen. And we will see. We are 27 days away from kickoff. Don't forget, you can join 93.7 The Ticket down at Blur Events in Kansas City. Tailgate is on the main concourse of Kauffman Stadium starting at 3:30, go until 8. Capacity, though, is 2,000. So get your tickets today at blurevents.com/Kansas City. We'll be back. We got about half an hour more of old school. Don't forget, we're flipping over to the stream.
Did you get a trivia answer?
We did not get a trivia. We did not. The first Pro Football Hall of Famer to play in Memorial Stadium. We'll give the Salt Ducks tickets away if someone gets the right answer on stream.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We're back here on Old School, another half an hour. Thanks again for flipping over to stream with us. We do have one person with the correct answer, except Disc Golf Jake. You already won this week, so you are not allowed to win again. DP, did you see Disc Golf Jake's story on the text line?
No.
Let me read it for you. So okay. He texted in yesterday. He said, just went to Wings and Rings to turn in my shootout with Strick winnings. They let me trade it in for a gift card for a raffle at a tournament I'm running next week. To support Be Brave Child Advocacy Center and added $25 to it. So thank you for hooking me up and in turn helping kiddos in our community who have experienced abuse.
Well done, kind sir. Well done. Well done.
Indeed. DP, you were going over Huskers in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
So the answer to ask your question again, your original question.
Who was the first Pro Football Hall of Famer to play a game in Memorial Stadium?
So the answer is Red Grange. Illinois, 1924.
Before it was a Big Ten game.
1924. And that was the second time that the Huskers faced Red Grange. The first effort didn't go well for the Huskers. Red Grange dominated the game.
As he does.
Yeah. But this was in the final matchup. In 1925, they held him without a touchdown, which is the first time it happened in his college career. But the Illinois won 9-6 in the previous meeting at Memorial Stadium. Red Grange, of course, touchdown pass from Grange to Charles Castle. Missed the PAT. The game remained tied to the final period, but Illinois kicked a game-winning field goal to win it 9-6. But then I spun the wheel because... it's Hall of Fame. And I did not know the number, and I certainly didn't know the name of Husker Hall of Famers. Huskers who were in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And it was not the number that I thought, nor were the names I would have selected.
The two most recent ones I think most Husker fans would get, that would be Will Shields and Mick Tinglehoff. Back in, 2015?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, before that, go to the name, right? There's a name that if you thought in that era, Hall of Fame, one of the greatest offensive linemen to ever do it, Bob Boomer Brown. That gives three. There was a Husker in the original, in the inaugural Hall of Fame, Pro Football Hall of Fame class. Any idea who it is? Any idea?
Not off the top of my head.
I will help. In this sort of way, he was In fact, a first team All-American. Started at Nebraska Wesleyan.
Oh.
Played halfback at Nebraska Wesleyan before transferring to the University of Nebraska, where he played halfback in the end positions. All-American, first team, consensus first team All-America his senior year. And at some point, well, in 1936, he was selected as the greatest player in Nebraska football history. From Blue Springs, Nebraska.
Blue Springs, you say?
Blue Springs, Nebraska. Played 9 years in the pros. Won professional championships in 6 of the 9 years.
Whoa.
Compiled a 58-16 record as a head coach in the NFL.
Pretty good.
The best win percentage of any coach in the NFL with a minimum of 50 wins. And he won NFL championships with 3 different clubs. Baller! Baller, I tell you. Baller.
The baller from Blue Springs?
Baller from Blue Springs.
Whose name is?
Guy the Champion Chamberlain.
Okay.
Guy Chamberlain is, in fact, the holder of all of those stats. One, as a player for the Canton Bulldogs, the Cleveland Bulldogs, the Frankfurt Yellow Jackets, the Chicago Cardinals. As a coach, he won for the Bulldogs and the Cardinals and the Yellow Jackets. NFL champion, 19. He was on, look, he talked about dynasty. 21, 22, 23, and 24.
Woo! Back to back to back.
Skipped a year, and then 1-26. Baller. NFL, NFL 1920s all decade team. 4-time first team all pro. So he's doing it as the first team all pro while coaching the team. While coaching them. And again, moving.
Does that make him the best player coach in sports history?
That's as good. That's a real. Well, he had a better playing career than Phil Jackson.
I'm just saying, like guys that were at the same time, right? I mean, the player coach is
Bill Russell. Bill Russell, Celtics.
Okay,
that was a run. Yeah, sure. he was having fun. He was doing different stuff. Bill Russell was doing he was doing different deals.
Well,
do you know who the fifth and final Husker?
I at least knew the name Guy Chamberlain. Did not know that was his resume, but let's just assume that no, I do not know the fifth Husker Hall of Famer.
This is spectacular. And again, this is part of the beauty of this thing. Wow. Born in Table Rock, Nebraska. Table Rock, Nebraska.
Okay.
Tells you some things, right? Tells you some things right away. 6'2", 233 pounds. Graduated from McDonald High School. Played for Guy Chamberlain. Canton Bulldogs, Cleveland Bulldogs, Yellow Jackets, Chicago Bears. Played for the Bears through all that time. Was a coach at Nebraska 1934 to 1941. Offensive line coach during those years. Offensive line coach for the Dirty Bluebirds in Omaha at Creighton in 1942. Career highlights, 4-time national champion. 22, 23, 24, and 33. 2-time first team All Pro, 1930, 1934. 3-time second team All Pro, 24, 28, 31. One of the 100 greatest Chicago Bear players ever.
Tells you he's not a quarterback.
One of the. A member of Sigma Alpha Epsilon fraternity at the University of Nebraska. Yeah. These are numbers, man.
You said this guy was born in Table Rock, Nebraska?
Table Rock, Nebraska.
That would be a 45-minute trip from Blue Springs, Nebraska, which would be, according to my handy-dandy Google machine, if you start in Table Rock, drive to Blue Springs, and then drive to Lincoln, it's going to take you an hour 44. So they grew up within 2 hours of Lincoln.
His time at Nebraska played tackle at Nebraska.
For Guy Chamberlain, like you said.
Yep. He said, from the first day, I just loved the game, and we had some pretty good teams. The 1921 Nebraska team compiled a 7-1 record. Its only loss, a close fought game with Newt Rockne's Notre Dame national champion. He is, in fact, William Roy Link Lyman. Link Lyman, also known as Roy.
So we have the champ. We have Link.
We have Link.
And what'd you say? Boomer Brown?
Boomer Brown. Isn't that fantastic? That
could have gone to Oklahoma. Glad he didn't.
Yeah. How about that? Right? Boomer Husker. Boomer Brown. Will Shields. Do Will Shields have a nickname? To your knowledge?
Will That Boy Good Shields.
That Boy Good.
I don't know if Will Shields actually had a nickname. I guess most people know him as Will Siobhan's dad, Shields, but that is disrespectful.
I don't know that. So, and here's the thing. Of the group, you know, Boomer's the only one that wasn't from. Do you know where Tinglehoff is from?
He's a Nebraska guy.
Lexington.
That's right.
Lexington. That's right. Lexington. Went to Lexington High School. Lexington High School. Undrafted in the NFL.
Woo,
Hall of Fame undrafted career.
Hall of Famer.
Well, 6'2", 235-pound center.
Center.
You know. NFL champion in 1969, right? Who was that with?
Oh, gosh. For some reason, I can't get an image of the Vikings out of my head, but I don't think that's right.
Four losses for the Vikings. Says he's an NFL champion,
69. I mean, talk about like Packers, Steelers.
This is why I was laughing, because it's the trick question. Because the Super Bowl that year was not the NFL championship. Vikings were the NFL champions. The 69, the Raiders were the no.
So the Chiefs, Super Bowl, that the was...
Chiefs. The Chiefs were the American Football League champion.
Ah.
The Super Bowl champion was the Chiefs. The NFL champion was the Minnesota Vikings. Wait.
So 69, like, we're talking 69 season or 69
this Super is what Bowl? It says. This is what it says. And again, this is why we go down the rabbit hole. So you can go through it. Yes, that is the 69 season. Because at that point, the Super Bowls were not being played in January of the following year. So he was the NFL. So when you say that the Vikings never won an NFL championship, it's not true. Vikings actually won an NFL championship.
They won an NFL championship, but not a Super Bowl.
Not a Super Bowl.
Hmm.
Trick question. 5-time first-team All-Pro. Second-team All-Pro 1 year, 6-time Pro Bowl, 50, one of the 50 greatest Minnesota Vikings, made the 25th and 40th anniversary teams, Minnesota Vikings Ring of Honor, and a retired jersey, number 53. He had the NFL records for the most consecutive starts by an offensive lineman at 240 consecutive starts.
You want to go through the 50 greatest Vikings list while we have a minute?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, let's do this alphabetically here. They announced this in December of 2010. Know that might be updated with a guy down the list here or there. But alphabetically.
Yeah, second on the list changes it.
Brady Alderman, Jared Allen, Matt Burke, Matt Blair, Bill Brown, Joey Browner, Bobby Bryant, Anthony Carter, Chris Carter, Fred Cox, Dante Culpepper, Chris Dolman, Carl Eller, some guy, Chuck Foreman.
That dude.
Pretty good player, I've been told.
Yep.
John Gilliam, Bud Grant, Wally Hilgenberg, Steve Hutchinson, Tim Irwin, Steve Jordan. Jay's talked about him on Old School quite a bit. Tommy Kramer, Paul Krause, Gary Larson, Carl.
Do not blaspheme Paul Krause.
Paul Krause, my apologies. My apologies. I meant no disrespect.
Yeah.
Gary Larson, Carl Lee, Jim Marshall, Randall McDaniel, Keith Millard, Randy Moss, Dave Osborne, Alan Page, Adrian Peterson made that list. That would not have been very long into Adrian Peterson's career. John Randall, Ahmad Rashad, Ed Shirokman, Jeff Seaman, Robert Smith, Scott Studwell, Doug Sutherland, Fran Tarkenton, Henry Thomas, Here's Mick Tinglehoff, Stu Voigt, Gene Washington, Ed White, Sammy White, Kevin Williams, Antoine Winfield, Roy Winston, Ron Yeary, and Gary Zimmerman for your 50 greatest Vikings as of December 2010.
Yeah, some of those are stunning. It stuns me that Antoine Winfield was on this list. Also, I have love for Gene Washington, number 84, because there was a time when there were two Pro Bowl receivers named Gene Washington. One for the Vikings, one for the San Francisco 49ers. So it got confusing sometimes in figuring out what that was. Robert Smith in his brief career, making the list certainly plays into it. I'm a member of the Joe Capp. The Joe Capp should be on this list. Took them. He was dominant. And Joe Capp, with a backfield of Dave Osborne and Bill Brown, it looked like they literally just came off the farm in overalls and played played football. Like Bill Brown was bow-legged, kind of a bowling ball sort of guy. Osborne was a straight-ahead downhill runner. And then they did a thing with Chuck Foreman. There was another runner who kind of came along and changed the way they were doing business. They had a ton of receivers. John Gilliam makes the list, but he cut his bones in, cut his teeth in New Orleans. As a matter of fact, if anybody's ever asked you the question of who scored the first touchdown in Monday Night Football history, on the very first play,
he would be the answer.
John Gilliam returned the opening kickoff of Monday Night Football back for a touchdown. I'm pretty sure that's true. I'm pretty sure I'm remembering that correctly. That John Gilliam returned the opening kickoff of Monday Night Football. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was who that was. I could be wrong, but I think that's exactly what happened. For whatever reason, I remember that as truth. Paul Krause still has the interception record.
So what I am seeing is trying to find the actual broadcast itself. It was, at the very least, the very first play in New Orleans Saints history.
Yeah. Okay, so, that part.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
Which doesn't exactly dull the effect. I mean, the opening play of the entire franchise is a kickoff return touchdown.
Paul Krause had 81 interceptions in his career.
Not Paul Krause. Paul Krause.
Paul Krause. Paul Krause. 81 interceptions. 16 Ooh. Seasons. Man.
It would have been a Sunday for John Gilliam, so.
Right. Get your thing on.
I'm just doing the research so we tell people the facts. Yeah. This will come up again for trivia, and I want to make sure that 100%. When this comes up for trivia,
we know literally the very first game on a Sunday, he returned the opening kickoff, and it went downhill quickly. It went down. The Saints were the reason why people wore brown bags over their heads.
He got touched once on that kickoff return. Kicker had an angle on him, took a really bad angle.
Mm-hmm.
And then looks like we had a linebacker, a fullback, just kind of give up halfway through the play.
I asked Jay this question if he knew who Harry Peter Grant Jr. was. And he didn't know.
Said, what are you doing, bud?
But yeah, we're going to go with bud. We're not going through life as Harry Peter. We're not going through that name. There's a bud. Yeah, we're going bud. So, you know, that kind of explains the stoic face. He got tired. He got tired of the jokes early.
Early. Let's take our final break of Old School. We'll wrap it up after this.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We are wrapping up Old School. You're probably on your way home or headed out to look for something to eat. We highly suggest that you hit up Liquid Asset Sports Bar and Grill. They got 23 beers on tap, a specific bar for high-end bourbon and spirits. They got 30 TVs showing Major League Baseball, NFL training camp, PGA golf, and more. They've got delicious wings. They've got handheld sandwiches, including turkey melts, the Liquid Gold Hamburger, the Bull Market Barbecue Burger, and more. They also have a new chocolate chip cookie skillet for dessert. That's all at Liquid Asset Sports Bar and Grill, 2755 Jamie Lane. DP, you were just mentioning during the break, seems like our boy Harry Peter Grant, a.k.a. Bud, has a thing for the purple and yellow, potentially.
Yeah, he holds a grudge. I do want to kindly state that his official name was Harry Peter Grant Jr., which means that there's a Grant Sr. which makes him a little Harry Peter Grant Jr.
Thanks, Dad.
Thanks, Dad. Oh, Dad, why do you do me so?
If you wanted a daughter, just try again.
That is spectacular, but that's not even the most interesting thing. Didn't know that Bud Grant was in the National Basketball Association. National Basketball Association. Not only so, was a member of the 1950 NBA final champions, the Minneapolis Lakers.
All right, Bud.
1950 NBA finals champions, Bud Grant. And then he went on to leave the NBA to play for the Eagles in the NFL. And then ended up his career with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers of the CFL.
Here is Bud Grant's path to the NBA championship. Mm-hmm. Won a first-place tiebreaker, beat the Rochester Royals, won the Central Division semis against the Chicago Stags, mm-hmm. won the division finals versus the Fort Wayne Pistons, mm-hmm. All 1-0, 2-0, 2-0, won the NBA semis versus the Anderson Packers, mm-hmm. and they beat the Syracuse Nationals in the NBA finals 4-2.
Man, he had a thing, man. He was there. University of Minnesota Golden Gopher.
And he was not the only one on that team, DP. Mm-hmm. Don Say Carlson it. Was on that team. You also had Tony Jarrus on that team from Minnesota as well.
That is spectacular business that, you know, three sport athlete in high school, two sports in, I played three. Nope. He along with Dave Winfield, mm-hmm. all played football, baseball, basketball for the Golden Gophers, earning all Big Ten conference honors in football twice. How you like them apples, kind sir?
I like them. I think they taste pretty sweet. Good for Bud Grant.
Bud Grant, attaboy.
Legendary stuff.
Attaboy.
Well done. Well done.
Yes, sir.
Bud Grant. DP, appreciate it. It's been fun over the last few hours.
Thank you, kind sir.
Absolutely. Appreciate we will be back here tomorrow. For a little while, normal Saturday lineup for you coming up on the ticket. But coming up next, it is not the corner three. Pulling the old switcheroo on you. Corner three will be tomorrow late morning. For now, though, Nick Stainert and I had some thoughts to get off our chest regarding the Chicago Cubs, the Kansas City Royals, and the Major League Baseball trading deadline. That's coming your way next. Baseball Corner on 93.7 The Ticket.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.